While we were talking about that, Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library was patiently waiting outside to come in and talk books. She's here now. How are you?
As I told you, and Blake, I was on the verge of going into
diva
mode.
Yeah.
I was going to kick some tables over and smash some things. And
I don't think that's diva mode. I think that's Hulk mode, isn't it?
Yes. Susan Brown, smash! Diva mode would be me continuing to note the lack of a crystal jar of only blue M&Ms.
Yes. We're working on that. It takes a while to... We've got to develop the filter for it. we've got to care. There's a whole lot of steps that need to go through in order to get to that point.
Yes, but usually we're right on time, so yes. I don't mind waiting. And I will say, I was a little bit concerned about getting here on time myself because, let me just tell you, the library is jumping this afternoon. So to everyone out there who's trying to park at the library these
days. I love it when you come in at the end of what's clearly a long day and you're like, I'm just getting through the next 10 minutes and then I'm sleeping for a week.
Well, I also had a house full of middle school boys for the last 5 days.
That's also part of it.
We are fully aware of the parking issues happening at the library these days. It is a factor of having a community that loves its library.
Yes.
And us doing awesome stuff, quite frankly. So apologies if you want to get in touch with us and share your thoughts about parking. Right now, it's pretty jammed up over there.
Yeah.
So it's a great problem to have, but it's a problem that we know about.
Yeah.
So,
Is there a long-term solution to that? Because there's a lot of parking at the library already. Like, there's two different parking lots.
And it's often
and it's full. Yeah.
Often. So,
Every time I go now, I honestly don't even bother, like, driving up the hill to the close parking lot. I just zip into the far parking lot because whatever. I can walk up the hill.
Yeah.
And half the time, like, you're parking
And depending on where you're going, plenty of people just come to the lower level. So they park on the lower lot. But yes, we are looking at gathering some data and looking at some future solutions.
Yeah.
But
so
we
for people
are
who
aware
come
of
to
it.
The library and have trouble finding a parking space, is there a third space or
no. They
not
kind
really,
of
right.
make their own spaces.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is I had to thread a little gauntlet coming over here today.
Okay.
So but we are aware of it. Please continue to share your thoughts about it and we are sorry.
Right. But actually,
one of the things that we're currently doing, you no longer have to come to the library to enjoy the library because we have the circulator.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Which
is how's that going?
It's going great.
Yeah.
In fact, tomorrow night it will be at Movies Under the Stars on the
awesome.
Wallace deck. I forget what the movie is. Is it Space
Cars,
Jam tomorrow
I think?
Night? Oh, it's Cars.
I think it's Cars,
okay.
Yeah.
So if you see the circulator out and about, you can get some books, return some books, hang out with us. And that's going really, really well.
Cool.
Summer's going great.
Yeah.
Gangbusters.
How's the reading program going?
It's going awesome.
Yeah.
They're going to share some more numbers soon, but we just busted through the previous
records.
Yeah,
with
every
still some
year
time to spare. Yeah.
And then every year we like set the bar higher, like, okay, this will be the year that we have to fudge things and say that we made 30,000 hours or whatever we set. And no,
but then,
every
nope,
year
it's 33.
Everybody busts it through. So it's going great. And we're starting to look for fall and think about what's next. So it's going very well at the library.
Talking books with Susan Brown. We've been talking to the library so far, but let's talk books, and talking is a form of communication.
Yes.
So let's talk about communication.
Yes, because it's
usually
been
come
in the
up
news
with a topic.
A lot this week. We usually something timely.
Yeah. We have a new communications director whose first task was to delete all his tweets, and his second task was apparently to try to fire everyone.
That's
so,
right.
Good start.
We have some communications professionals who aren't perhaps looking for jobs.
Yes.
We have lots of communication happening via the Twitter these days.
Right.
So we thought we would use that as our prompt.
Awesome.
Okay.
Okay, so I was talking about a healthcare vote during the time that I ordinarily would have spent coming up with suggestions. So I've got one. But
you are communicating an excuse to me.
I am communicating a terrible excuse for why I did no work today.
Alrighty then. Do you want to use that first or end with it?
I'll go in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought of a whole bunch of books.
Good.
Almost all of them, in fact, all of them are nonfiction. So when I first thought of this as our prompt, I thought of one of my favorite books. It's a classic on this topic. It's by Deborah Tannen, and it's called You Just Don't Understand Women and Men in Conversation.
Grace.
So this came out maybe in the 90s, and it was, you know, at the there was a time when the men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Venus. Yeah.
Maybe that,
right.
That's probably pretty dated. It probably doesn't age well.
No, but as soon as you said, like, this came out in the 90s, I was like, oh, this was the Men Are From Mars era when there were a whole bunch of other books, right? This is a good book that came out of that
Yes.
era.
So Deborah Tannen is a, I think, like, a, I forget what she's called, like a sociolinguist, but she's a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we all know that women and men communicate differently.
What?
Huh? And that women are generally better communicators. We are crystal clear in our expectations and desires and wants and needs. And men clearly... No, I'm not going to do that. Anyways, she did the research that shows why that is and why we think that and if it's really true. So she breaks through any myths and says, this is what's actually going on.
Okay.
It's a really, really, really good book. And she gets at it's not just different words, it's also sort of different worlds. And it's all about our DNA and our background and nature versus nurture and traditional roles versus modern roles. So if you are curious about communication in general, she's also written... That's Not What I Meant, which is how conversational style affects relationships. So lots of her stuffs are men and women communicating together. But the one that I love is You Just Don't Understand Men and Women in Conversation.
Like
and
that.
Any, truly all of her books, Deborah Tannen, are great.
Cool. So what's the, like the number one conclusion that you took from that or that she made in that? It's like, so, I'm thinking of that because like, the transgender and the military issues
yeah,
in the news
right.
today, and that underscores one of the things that's developed in the really in the last 20, 25 years. One of the things that we've learned a lot more than we knew 25 years ago is that difference between male and female is not as stark as we might have thought it was 25 years ago.
Right.
And then there's biology and sex and gender and nature and nurture, and
exactly.
there's a lot of play here.
So I haven't read it recently,
okay.
but I went back and looked like because I was trying to think like what was the biggest takeaway, and I really do think it's that that it's not necessarily biology or nature nurture, that it's the traditional roles
right.
that are passed down generation
affects the way we think
right.
Yeah.
And so this book's probably at least 20 years old, and there might be a new version of it, but the whole thing is we communicate this way because we have traditionally been in these roles, and now is the time when all of that. That's changing. So what does that mean? How might we adjust as roles adjust?
Interesting. Okay. So the one that I came up with, and you're doing nonfiction and I'm doing fiction today. I'm actually going
to
do
I was trying to think of a good novel on this topic.
I couldn't think of a novel. What I thought of was a play.
Ooh.
So this is something that's fun to just sit there and read as opposed to necessarily what is it?
Importance of Being Earnest?
Ooh.
Miscommunications?
That's a good, no? No, it's not. But that's
okay.
a good one too. Okay. So in addition to The Importance of Being Earnest, which is now...
Right.
See, now you mentioned a play that got referenced for an entire chapter in Fun Home, and now I can't
there
stop
you,
thinking
now,
about Fun
go.
Home, and I'm going to go home and read it from start to finish tonight. But the play is actually a short, like a little one act. It might be 15 or 20 minutes long, so it's kind of like one scene, two people. It's called The Universal Language by David Ives. David Ives is the playwright who wrote All in the Timing, which is a collection of short plays. And they're all wordplay, or a lot of them are wordplay.
Oh, I love
there's
it.
The there's his famous one is called Sure Thing, which is a man and a woman meet at a restaurant and they strike up a conversation until one of them says the wrong thing, and then a bell rings off stage and they go back and they go back and
that sounds like a game show.
It kind of
right?
is, yeah. But in the course of this conversation, they fall in love and get together, but it's all like one person. And says the wrong thing, ding, say something else, ding, say something else, and then they say the right thing. There's Words, 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 which is just three monkeys trying to type Hamlet. And just their interaction with each other. There's a lot of really fun stuff that he's written, and one of them is called The Universal Language, which is about a woman who has a stuttering problem,
mm-hmm.
Walks into, like she finds an ad, and she walks into this, like, upstairs on the second floor of the strip mall kind of office where this guy has started a school called the Universal Language, where he's invented his own language called Unamunda, which is basically like...
Oh my God,
like
I love everything about it.
It's basically like a kind of Esperanto, like it's all... Like all of the words are taken from English or other European languages or just pop culture. Like if you're an imposter, or if you're just like a charlatan, you're a Freud. If you're a really big charlatan, you're a Sigismundo Freud.
Love it.
Yeah, it's great. And pretty much the entire play takes place entirely in this language. So she is trying to figure out what he's saying, but you as the audience are also trying to figure out what he's saying. But because everything just sort of sounds familiar, you pick it up very quickly.
And this is a one-act play, you said?
It's like 15 minutes long. It's super fun. I've never seen it performed on stage before, but I must have read the play like 100 times.
It makes me think of... Was it A Clockwork Orange, where they have that language?
Oh, the language,
Yeah.
And you just... you immerse yourself in it just for a few minutes and then you figure it out. Yeah. It's great.
That's awesome. Okay, so I got some more nonfiction because that's where my brain was.
That's my suggestion for today. So it's all you now.
Yep. Aaron out.
Aaron out. Although if you're listening out there and you get a chance, All in the Timing by David Ives is a collection of like 12 short plays. You can just buy it all in one or find it at the library. Definitely worth checking out and reading. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so I was thinking of other nonfiction authors, and one who I have learned about recently, and I've read some of her book, and then I've just read some of her writing, and I've watched some like YouTube videos of her. She was at a library conference a couple years ago, and I missed her, but the Twitter feeds about it were awesome. So since then, I've sort of come to research her more. And her name is Sherry Turkle. She's at MIT. And the book that I want to recommend is called Alone Together, Why We Expect More from Technology and Less from Each Other.
Ooh,
and
okay.
She takes, it's a very eye-opening and thoughtful look at what technology has done to us, for us, with us, and the sort of illusion of companionship on Facebook, and how things like Twitter and email and all of this and texting and chatting has affected not only, it hasn't just changed the way we speak and write, it's changed the way we think about communication and companionship and connection. And it's really, really good stuff. So that book in particular is called Alone Together, Why We Expect More from Technology and Less from Each Other. And she's got another book called that's really good also called Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age. So if you're interested in any of this, and actually I thought of this too because we just recently bought a house, moved in, we had to buy a new sofa. We bought this giant sectional sofa. So all four of the Browns, plus Hector, the fifth Brown, can be on there. And we're hanging out, and I realized, like, each of us, well, my husband was asleep. One of us was watching TV. The other two were on their screens. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
We are alone together giant sofa. And
I have turned, now that I've got like the actual good smartphone now that I've owned for a couple of months, I have turned into one of those people that you see where like you're sitting at, like you see someone, like four people that are sitting at dinner at a restaurant and all four of them are on their smartphones. I used to be the fourth person that was just sitting there watching the other three on their smartphones and making fun of them. Now I'm the fourth person.
I'm totally
with you. And I notice myself
doing
that.
So I forgot that you only recently got a smartphone because I thought that I was the last person on earth to get a smartphone.
This still has its new smartphone smell.
Right? And I got mine.
Hello,
it was
Moto.
Just before I moved back here. It was like the beginning of 2013, I think.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, people gave me so much grief for the flip phone. And I remember saying, yeah, but I'll never be one of those so-and-sos
with
their face constantly.
You always become.
Within like 10 minutes. I was like, this
not
is awesome. I can put
close.
My face in the screen all the time. Now, of course, that I have kids and one of them, I mean, they have screens. We're really trying to think about how we navigate all of this. And Sherry Turkle's books give you a lot of thoughtful fodder for those conversations.
I love that. Awesome.
So I have one more.
Go for it.
A classic, but not a classic novel. And I don't know. I meant to dig around and see how this, if there's some, you know, if this is still considered a great one, but if you want to learn how to communicate, especially in written form, I would say turn to the classic Strunk and White, The Elements of Style.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I used to be really nerdy about that book, and I have read it and reread it several times.
Yeah.
I think it stands up. It's one of the most clear, concise, consistent approaches to written communication. So I want to throw that one out there. E.B. White. And who knows Strunk?
William
like,
Strunk?
What's his first? Oh, you had to look that up.
No, I didn't.
You're pointing to the screen.
No.
Yes, you did.
I did not. I went to the
How
screen
did you know
to
Strunk's
look
first
up
name?
Because
the
you
cover?
Might be a little bit of a Strunk and White nerd.
Yeah, I actually you're could a be, lot of a Strunk and White
I could
nerd.
Be wrong about that. I'm pretty sure it's William Strunk. Now I am looking it up.
Okay, let's Google it. Oh, yes. Yes, it is. William Strunk.
William Strunk. All right, yeah. Elements of Style. We gotta wrap up in a second, but I want to piggyback onto that and recommend my favorite book about writing, which is a great companion piece to Elements of Style, Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott.
Oh, that's a great
Isn't
book.
Isn't it so good?
Such a good book. And yeah. I'll piggyback on that.
Okay.
We've often talked about Stephen King. He put out a book within the last 10 years,
on
basically
writing.
Like on writing,
yeah.
how to write.
Yep.
Great
that's
book.
That's a good one too.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, we could go on forever, but look, it's almost 5 o'clock.
We've got to wrap up. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.